In the last programme, we saw how St David's had grown to become a centre for trade and industry. We heard from local people about their stories, and we showed how Exeter had grown culturally and socially. In this next programme, we'll be discovering the present form of St David's, and we'll be talking to residents about their thoughts and hopes for the future of the place. In the last programme, we touched on the idea of urban centralisation. This observation that public services and commerce had gradually been concentrated into the city centre. This process has been decades in the making. One of the staff at the West of England School for the Partially Sighted, when it was here in St David's, remembers a buzzing street.
That place over there used to be a milk shop.
Did it?
Yeah.
The one that's closed now?
Yeah, I think it's been closed a long time. Yeah.
Were there more shops in St David's those days? Or?
Oh, I think these big places take over everything. They took over everything. They don't give anybody else a chance. Yeah. They even do banks and God knows what now, don't they? Cool.
It's sad.
Don't give anybody, a chance, do they? Yeah.
More recently, a St David's resident, Holly Jarrett, lamented the closure of her local pub.
Unfortunately, the pub that I frequented when I first moved here closed down, and that's left a massive gap in the community, although it's being refurbished at the moment. It's been closed since December. And every time I bump into the people that I knew, just the locals you say hi to at the bar that you don't know well, people you wouldn't bump into in your everyday life. That's quite an alternative pub, quite a mixed group of people, quite a mixed demographic. And I often bump into some of the older people who I guess you might categorise as old rockers or old hippies, And I bump into them from time to time, and we all bemoan the loss of this centre of the community.
Gradually, it would appear that St David's, like so many other places in so many other cities, has grown into an increasingly private residential area, with fewer and fewer public and social institutions. I asked Holly about the kind of people who live there now.
I saw such a mixed group of people living in St David's. There certainly are students, there's lots of large houses. I live down on Bonhay Road, and because of all the houses are very large, most of them are shared houses for students or for young people like myself. So, for instance, in the house I live in, I live with two couples. One of them is married. I live with a girl from the Bahamas. I live with a Canadian guy who's married to a Welsh girl. I live with a girl who's from Poland. It's such a mixture of people. I think that there are lots of older retired people in St David's. There's lots of young families.
The whole idea of what a community is has evolved and changed. This is the nature of modern urban society. Due to individual and mass transport, there's no longer any requirement to live where you work and socialise. People can live in St David's and travel to Bristol or London for the daily commute, or to see friends. An increase in higher education has also led to greater job prospects among many people, causing them to look further afield for work and employment. But it's also the mechanisation and outsourcing of industry which has helped to form modern urban society. The big employers of the mid-20th century have largely left St David's. The brewery was bought out, and the railways have lost much of their importance and are less labour-intensive than they used to be. The result is fewer jobs in the local area. But it's this transformation into a largely private residential form which has broken down entrenched senses of class and race and made for a more diverse society. Modern community is now more socially and geographically diverse than ever before. More often than not, it's no longer defined by location, but by the individuals within it. Over the last few years, there's been this move to try and bring back community life into residential areas, making them more active and interesting for the diverse group of people who now reside there. Exeter Community Centre has recently opened in St David's and is doing a great job of bringing the area together and relocalising this sense of community.
I'm Hannah Reynolds, and I'm the Chair of Trustees of Exeter Community Centre Trust. This has taken us 8 years to get the idea from an idea in people's heads to take over this huge building from Devon County Council and then refurbish it completely in order that it could be once again what it once was, which was a centre for this community. And so over 8 years we negotiated with the county council, and eventually they agreed to give us the building if we could raise the £2 million it was going to take to refurbish it. So that took us another sort of 4 years to do. And then we have refurbished it, so now it's run by a charity for the benefit of this local neighbourhood forever. So this community, the St David's community, owns this building forever and ever and ever, and therefore it's an asset for us to use in the community how we want to, or even to raise money for projects on the back of it, because it's a building that we own, which is just great.
Yeah, so... is it just for St David's, or because it's called Exeter Community Centre, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we allow other people to use it. But the people that it's primarily for the benefit of is the people who live in St David's area, which is a neighbourhood of Exeter, which extends from just outside the city wall right down to the train station. And it's about, I suppose, 2,000, 2,500 households of people. So whatever money is made out of the lettings, and it'll be, believe me, it'll be a fair few years before that happens... then we can use for projects that will benefit this area. But anybody can use the centre. In fact, we have people coming who book it for conferences that come nationally from London or from Birmingham.
So what's your aspirations for the future then for St David's, for the centre?
Well, once we'd done up the building, we then raised another £100,000 to completely landscape the garden that we're sitting in now, to showcase the mulberry tree. And the mulberry tree that we're sitting by is 150 years old.
Wow.
And it's been split by lightning about three times, and yet it's still growing mulberries. So it's a kind of totem for us of what can be achieved no matter how battered you are and how many years it takes to do that. So we completely landscaped the garden and took 3,000 tons of earth out of the garden to make it accessible for wheelchairs. And what we now want to do is make this garden as well a place where people can sit and reflect as we're doing, talk to each other, build relationships and networks, but most of all for people that live in a busy city area who might not have gardens, to be able to come here and have a view of the cathedral, sit in the quiet, smell the flowers, those kinds of things.
Hear the peregrines,
yes, behind us in the church. Then that's our aspiration, is that this whole place becomes a building and a garden that people feel that they can either pop into or they can volunteer, so they can get involved in doing things in their community. And that's what we want to do in perpetuity, really.
One of the brilliant ways they've been trying to do this has been to run workshops about people's experiences of the local area as part of their project Past, Present, Future. I got involved in a workshop by local artist Naomi Hart, making a carne de voyage with other residents.
So what I want from the workshop is that each person who participates is going to create a page or a couple of pages of a great big book, sketchbook journal of St David's Past, Present, Future. So your page might be one aspect, it might be all the aspects together, it might be past, present and future all on one page. You might do a couple of pages that are different, and I want it to be very much your personal thing. So don't feel that you have to produce a beautiful drawing of, you know, a church or whatever. There's lots of things. There's paint, there's watercolour, colour pencils, there's wax crayons, we can do rubbings, we can go and get things from the street, from leaves, and stick them in. I want it also to be a personal sort of journey. So it's your thoughts about the past here or the present here, and what you might like the future of St David's to be, or what you think it will be. So hopefully quite open. I don't want to be too prescriptive about what this turns out to be. My particular hope for this workshop, A, is a sense, particularly with people who like art things or who are interested in them but don't get a chance to do them very often. It's partly a little more expression of themselves through art. It's learning new ways to look at things and to enjoy art, to enjoy making, to enjoy mark making, and the final product isn't necessarily the thing that's important. It's a lot about, as people always say, the journey to get there, or just the time taken to make it, so the process. And I find that when I've got a sketchbook, I do tend to look at things in a different way. There's things you've never saw before that you take notice of. You see other people's work and you wonder how they did that or what they're looking at. So it's a lot about just taking the time to look at things in a different way and looking at the history, concentrating a little bit on this area of the city and finding out new things. And hopefully, I think the whole project is probably just about... There seems to be a move back to the local. You know, we've gone global and we've gone kind of multinational and other people telling us what to do and what to buy and, you know... And maybe this is another one of those little ways of let's look at what's around us and let's treasure what's around us and let's find out that actually we can travel even within a very short distance. There's a huge amount of history, obviously, in this city and, you know, all sorts of things that I don't know about, and I'm still learning every single day. I've only been here for 5 years. So maybe it's just, yeah, looking at what we have and valuing that and finding new connections and that sense of community, meeting new people again and seeing what their experiences are.
Another workshop built on the history of the centre as the school for the partially sighted. Previous pupils and staff who lived and worked there were invited back to help make a stained glass window for the centre's foyer. The school had a heavy focus on crafts, as we heard in the last programme, and the idea was that recycled materials would be woven together and used to texture the glass. Artist Amy McCarthy explained further.
And I just thought it'd be really nice to do something that people can see, but also that reflects not just the history of the place, but the fact that this building was built with a purpose. And a multisensory window seemed to do that. And it's kind of pushing the boundaries of glass a bit. And what is, you know, what is this window about? And is it just a thing to look at or a thing to touch? And making textures in glass and things, I'm quite interested in that anyway. Although I mostly make windows, I also do quite a lot of public sculptures for sculpture trails and things. So that's where the kind of the idea of making it a bit more 3D came from. And then I thought, well, basket weaving. They all had to learn basket weaving. As you can see, they all quite good at basket weaving.
Hannah told me more about the past, present, future project.
What we hope to achieve is a lasting memorial and celebration, not just of the people that have refurbished the community centre now and the people that use it now, but a celebration of the people who've used it in the past, and also looking forward to start planning what this centre and this area could be in the future. So at the moment, through the Past, Present and Future project, we're collecting the memories of people who once lived in the area or who once used the centre or who use the centre now. And we're saying, tell us your stories about this area, and we're going to exhibit those and keep them as a permanent archive, part of our kind of treasure box for the centre. We've buried some memories already in the garden as a time capsule, and we'll open those in 50 years. And some of the comments and the memories and the stories are going to be carved into a storytelling bench. Michael Morpurgo, he of Warhorse, his charity is based here, so he's also given us some money in order to create a storytelling bench, which is going to be carved by a community carver. And some of people's memories will also be in that bench, or carved into slate, which we're going to put into the garden. And we're going to exhibit all of this to members of the local public and anybody else who wants to see it and listen to it. We're creating soundscapes, which you're involved in, mm-hmm. to create people's stories on as a sound recording. We're going to exhibit those in May and June so that anybody wants to come and see them then. But we'll also have that as a permanent celebration of everybody that's involved in the centre.
Yeah.
Just over a year since it opened, Exeter Community Centre is already very well used. A range of day and evening classes include activities such as art, drama languages, yoga, aikido, photography, fitness and dance. There are homeopathic clinics and acupuncture sessions, as well as a number of community workshops which are open to all. In September 2012, the beautiful Mulberry Cafe opened to the public as a place to sit and relax, to socialise, or to work, with free Wi-Fi available throughout. Holly gave us her thoughts on the centre and what role she wants the centre to take in the future.
I do think the community centre is fantastic, and I do think it offers a real hub for the community. I think it's fantastic how many little free or cheap courses they're putting on for the community. I'd like to see the cafe maybe put forward more as a place not just to go when you're here doing a course or involved in a meeting, but somewhere to go on a Saturday on your way into town or whatever. And I believe the community centre is Exeter Community Centre, isn't it? Not just St David's Community Centre. And I think maybe more needs to be made of that as well. But it definitely, it feels like somewhere that we're incredibly lucky to have. It's not the kind of thing that you actually expect to have in a little area on the outskirts of the city. You know, it's got so much going for it. It's been so beautifully renovated. I don't think it's what you expect to have in this area, so we're really, really lucky.
Just up the hill from Exeter Community Centre, St David's Church is also active as a centre for the community. Laura Denning and the vicar Tom Honey met the bell ringers and the tower captain Jeff Crockett.
I'm the go-between between, I suppose, the ringers and the church, because the ringers have been made up since 1990 by members of the Exeter Colleges Guild, which is a university ringing society. They adopted us as their home tower, and we've not looked back since. And quite a lot of people, they've come along as students, and then they've stayed in the area and they've stayed with us. So that's how we've now got quite a thriving band of our own, whereas when they arrived in 1990, there were two of us.
It's now a large and diverse group. They introduce themselves one by one.
Hello, my name is James. I'm the captain of the ringers here, and I've been bell ringing since I was 12 years old, and that's 20-something years now.
Brilliant. Hi, I'm Lucy, and I've been ringing for about 7 years.
I'm Rob, and I've been ringing about 14 years.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I've been ringing almost 12 years.
Hi, I'm Ludwig, and I'm ringing for almost a year now, and making the society international.
Where are you from, Ludwig?
From Germany.
From Germany. Do you bell ring at home?
No.
No, right. No. So is it a skill you'll take home with you, maybe?
I'm Tim. I took it up age 28, and I'm 29 now.
I'm Richard, and I've been ringing for about 13 years.
And now here in St David's.
And now here in St David's.
What do you
yes.
find your, how, where does your congregation come from? Is it local people, or do you draw it, further afield?
It varies. It varies. It's really a city church. We do have a parish, a geographical area attached, but it stretches out into the suburbs, whereas the church is here in the city. So we tend to draw people from all over the place, all over Exeter. People who like the way that things happen at St David's. You know, there are all different kinds of churches, and in a city people tend to choose not the, so much by locality but by the style of what happens on a Sunday morning. So, you know, you have very very evangelical churches which tend to have lively, very lively worship in a modern idiom and draw in a lot of young people and have a more conservative take on faith. And then middle of the road Church of England like us here tends to be slightly older profile, not totally.
And not necessarily conservative?
No,
interestingly.
No, interestingly.
Yeah.
But it's hard to use terms like liberal or progressive because you've got to speak for a wide range of people who come to church. So that might describe my faith, but, you know, you can't model the church on the vicar. You have to be open to the variety of people who come here, some of whom will have more progressive views and some of whom may not.
Yes, indeed.
So, yeah.
And how long have you been here?
3 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's quite early days. And there are a lot of challenges around here in the middle of the city. Quite a lot of drug taking in the churchyard, a lot of homeless people, and we give them soup every Thursday evening under the church here. At the moment, we're trying to reclaim the churchyard, really, by kind of making it a bit tidier and a place where people will want to come and spend time and feel safe. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's clearly a popular route with people coming from one
part
of town to the
other. A lot of people walk through, yes.
Yeah.
It's you know, we're on the route between the station and the city centre, so that's great.
Yes. You said 3 years early days. Do you feel this is somewhere you'll stay?
I hope so, yes. Yeah. Yes, I don't see any reason why not. We've got a big project to repair the inside of the church where there are a lot of cracks happening at the West End, and we need to think about what we want to do with the inside of church to make it more user-friendly for the local community and not just for people who come on Sunday morning.
Yes, indeed.
A churchyard tells of a time when churches were for everybody. You know, they were a community asset. Everybody in the community had the right to be buried there or to be married there, or to have their children baptised in church. It's become less like that recently, I think. And I regret the fact that church is becoming more clubbish and less open to the whole community. We've got to have the back of the church underpinned, so there'll be a lot of disruption. And then restoration of the places where there have been large cracks in the masonry and in the arches. But while all that's happening, we're hoping to do other things that may make the church a more attractive venue for all kinds of groups, music, theatre, and other things. But in order to make that work, the congregation have to be on board with it and own it.
Yes,
so we're in the beginnings of that process. And then when we have a vision from the congregation, we'll talk to our architect and we'll have consultants in to advise us about what can be done and what can't. And
it's quite a process.
Quite a process, yeah. Yes, yes. And in the meantime, you know, we've got to continue as a community with a purpose. So that'll be an interesting challenge.
It will, won't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So over the last couple of years in St David's, there's been this great shift towards a more inclusive, cohesive community atmosphere. The establishment of the community centre and the work of the church are really helping to bring the people of St David's, and indeed people from other areas of the city, together. They're becoming not just a local centre for community, but places where residents from all across Exeter can get together, found new relationships, and enjoy a sense of activity and participation. And perhaps this is what a modern urban community is all about. As communities are given back their local focus, social activity has also relocalised. And it's in this way that St David's seems to be moving, by progressing towards a less centralised paradigm of social and geographical development. The work in St David's is challenging the centralisation which we talked about earlier, in a very constructive and inspired manner, showing that a modern city and a modern community are not necessarily mutually exclusive. Perhaps, in years to come, the progress made in St David's will inspire other communities to rediscover themselves and reinvent themselves, just like they have. In St David's and in Exeter, the future looks bright. This series was commissioned by Exeter Community Centre as part of their Past, Present, Future project. The presenter and producer was Meredith Ricks, and the series director was Laura Denning.